Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Anna Sale in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. When I don't have the privilege of sitting in for Brian, I am covering the mayor's race for WNYC, and I hereby convene a roundtable discussion with two of my esteemed colleagues. Ozzie Pabra from Capital New York and David Chen, the City Hall Bureau Chief for the New York Times, are here today to talk about the latest in the mayor's race, Christine Quinn, Thompson, Loda, temper, and how much it matters, whether we're seeing gender pop up in a new way in the mayor's race. Ozzie, David, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Likewise.
David, I want to start, I don't know about you, but when your piece ran earlier this week about Christine Quinn's temper and her temperament, I got a lot of people wanted to talk about it. What did I think about how it was framed? What did I think about how much it mattered? What did I think about if it would have been covered the same way if she were a man and not a woman? So just give us a sense of this piece, what you talked about in the piece, how you decided to frame it, and why it ended up on A1.
All great questions. And I think this is a story that we've been wanting to do for a long time. I think it's a story that a lot of people who cover City Hall have talked about in private or have tried to figure out how to package. And we thought that in a field where most of the candidates are pretty unknown to the voting public, it was sort of incumbent upon us to inform the public in as many ways as possible about all the different attributes of these candidates, including policy positions, including management style, including temperament. And because, Chris is viewed as the front runner in some eyes, and certainly there's it's a phrase that's repeated even though the polls are a little bit iffy, it seemed like it was a natural idea to examine this really interesting part of her personality.
So I want to go over some of the findings in the piece. First, Christine Quinn, her staff had to soundproof her office because she yells so loudly. That she once yelled over the phone for 5 minutes to someone who hung up, and then she called back to yell some more. And also, the argument that Christine Quinn can be a bit petty, that she wasn't mentioned in a press release, and as a result, senior centers in Queens lost some funding, and that's something she didn't deny in the end of the piece. So those are all important things to engage with when you're talking about a potential mayor's temperament. Did you think about how this would play, given that she is a woman, when you were figuring out the word choice, how to frame this, how this might be received?
I can say, without getting into sort of deep journalistic practices, that it was vetted on a lot of levels by a lot of different people in terms of trying to be clear and not trying to be judgmental in any way, and to sort of marshal a variety of anecdotes that seem to capture the different facets of her personality. One of the things that I think has been maybe lost a little bit as the speaker herself has gone on a little bit of a media tour, at least national media, is the sense that a lot of these outbursts come across as a little bit volatile or even unpredictable. And it's the kind of thing that I've seen reflected in a lot of the comments that were on the Times website. There were like more than 500 in which people talked about how they were a little bit unnerved by how unpredictable she was, and it reminded them of bullying behavior, which is the kind of phrasing that we didn't really use, but a lot of people have drawn from that. So there was just a lot of discussion beforehand about trying to be as simple and as direct as possible, knowing full well that there were, this is sort of a statistical sample, if you will.
So listeners, I want to hear what you have to think about this. What did you read this piece? Did you have any reactions to it? Do you think that personality matters in this mayor's race? Any politician, for that matter? What did you think about how how Christine Quinn sort of turned out in this piece, and what do you want to know about the other candidates' personalities? The phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Ozzie, one of the interesting things I thought about this piece was, David, it went right at the way that she – the strength that she's trying to project to New Yorkers as she's running. She is, has described herself to voters as an effective diplomat who can bring different sides together and broker solutions. She is running in all five boroughs doing walk-and-talk tours and really running on her likability. So, Ozzie, did you – prior to this piece, did you kind of see that contrast between her reputation – within City Hall and the people who have to work with her versus how she's trying to project herself to the public?
Well, I think every elected official sort of has the image that they want to project publicly, the image that they know critics have of them, and then some middle ground where they try to sort of bear hug the criticism and do a jujitsu flip and make it into a positive attribute. Chuck Schumer, the state's senior senator, is not one who is shy in front of a camera, and that is a joke that a lot of people make about him. He even embraces it, but he uses it to his advantage. He says, you know, I'm just a tireless advocate for the people who elect him. And I think what Quinn had done in her campaign video and in announcing her candidacy for mayor was preemptively acknowledge that she's a character. She invited people to walk and talk with her in a way that was sort of humorous. She actually used the word crazy in the very first 30 seconds of the video to describe some of the reactions of New Yorkers, but in a way that was positive and light and funny. And I think she was getting at this idea that she's going to be a personality, very much like Ed Koch had campaigned in a crowded primary and surprised everyone. And I cannot imagine that this was an entirely unexpected criticism that was going to be leveled against her. And I think David raised a really good point, was that in response to the story, what has she done? She's done an interview on CNN, an interview on MSNBC, talking about, among other things, her candidacy for mayor. And her rivals so far are getting a lot less attention than she's getting right now.
Let's take a listen to Christine Quinn on CNN yesterday. Here she is responding to the characterization in the piece that she has punished some of her rivals at city council, and she addresses the gender question. Let's take a listen.
I'm not a man. I'm a woman, and I'm an aggressive woman who gets things done, and that's the way it is. And I've never been embarrassed about the fact that I am pushy and aggressive.
Well, the other thing the Times reported in that same article is that you've pursued political revenge against people that wronged you or you perceived wronged you. Do you?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Don't all politicians do that, though?
Pardon me?
Don't all politicians go after others who've wronged them in some way?
Well, I think that's an unfair statement about all politicians, and certainly it's not a fair statement about me. I've tried very hard to bring discipline to the city council, which was for many, many years known as kind of an undisciplined body without focus.
That's Christine Quinn talking to CNN's Carol Costello yesterday. So here she is. She's basically making two arguments here. She's saying, I'm a woman and I'm aggressive and I get things done. And maybe I'm being a little bit unfairly criticized for that because I'm a woman. And she's also saying, this shows that I'm effective on city council because before they were just leaderless cats running around and I'm getting things done. Is that what she told you when you interviewed her for this piece as well?
Yeah, no, she's been, well, except for the, I mean, she sort of didn't deny that she was vindictive, as Liz Crowley put it, in sort of defunding her programs in her district. She was a little bit, and Ozzie pointed this out yesterday, she was a little bit more forthright in saying that she had not done that. So there was a little bit of a disconnect. But other than that, I agree that there's been this attempt on her part to try to have it both ways, if you will, in terms of, yes, I'm this big personality, but at the same time, who else would you call on to sort of tame and a body that's had a lot of problems? Of course, conveniently not mentioning sort of the other problems that have sort of blossomed under her, under her reign, including the slush fund scandal and other things. So it's an interesting sort of mix of things. But as Ozzie also said, I mean, she has command of the dais right now, if you will, and is totally sucking the oxygen out of the race for the moment.
Ozzie, you want to add to that?
Right. If you look at 2001, when there was an open seat for mayor, the best-known candidates, I believe it was Mark Green and it was either Peter Vallone Sr. or Alan Heversey. I'm forgetting which one it was. But the top two best-known candidates were about at 25 or 26% if you look at the Quinnipiac poll in the January of that election year. If you look at the January of this current election year, just a few months ago, in Quinnipiac, Quinn's lead over her next biggest rival was about a 20-point gap, or like at least it was at least double digits. She's far better known than any of her other candidates. And when she went on that campaign kickoff tour in all five boroughs, the one comment that I kept on hearing from people who were just people on the street that were just surprised to see her and that I spoke to afterwards, they said, you know what, I agree with her on most things, but I'm familiar with her. I know who she is, and I don't know who the other people are. And just the way that people buy the same soda when they go to the movie theaters, just the way we watch the same movies with the same actors – The familiarity that people have with someone is a powerful statement when you're asked to choose between someone you don't know. Now, I know there's a lot of critics who say if someone's undecided going into the poll, that usually breaks for the challenger. But at this point, there's a familiarity with Quinn that is working to her advantage. If the conversation is about she's loud, it's a win. If the conversation is about would she be treated the same if she were a man, for Quinn, that's a win. If the conversation is what triggered her to defund senior centers in someone's district, was it not having her name on a press release? That's a loss. But for the most part, the conversations on CNN and MSNBC that have been the conversation about Quinn have been more positive for her than negative.
So
on the other hand, I think what's interesting about the reaction so far is that you get a sense that her support is relatively shallow, I think. It's not like there's this deep-seated sort of base of or well of support for her. You see this reflected in a lot of the comments, for example, on the Times website. A lot of those folks live in the city. A lot are probably, you know, prime voters in a Democratic primary. I was struck by how there were quite a few of them who said that they were inclined to like her because they knew her a little bit, or they thought she could really make some history being the first female mayor, first openly gay mayor, and they just kind of liked the vibe about her. And a lot of people also, you know, I think, are generally approving of the way the mayor, Mayor Bloomberg, has handled the job. But, I can't tell you how many people said that they were now less inclined to vote because they were troubled by the bullying nature or sort of the behavior of a person who, after all, is going to be entrusted with, you know, a large set of keys and presumably needs like a reasonable, calm, kind of composed temperament to deal with things. And then by contrast, you look at the support that other candidates have, say John Liu, you know, even though he's despite all the federal investigation, and other things, he has a very, very deep well of support, and the other candidates have a pretty strong support as well. So that's an interesting thing, and turnout is very low traditionally, so it's hard to say.
So gauging the enthusiasm of the support that we're showing and that we're seeing in polls is something we need to keep watching. Sean in Queens, what do you think? You have a point to make about the coverage in the Times?
Hi. Thanks for taking the call. I just remember that when Anthony Weiner was a front runner or presumed front runner, pretty much the same article ran. He was a difficult guy. He drove people crazy over the phone, hard to deal with. So this is really the same article with different names. And I don't think gender has anything to do with it. I think people just want to know, and I think it's an important article, because people want to know the personalities of their future leaders. You know, is it going to be a Bloomberg, a Giuliani, a Dinkins, or a Koch?
That's right, David Chen. You wrote that article about Anthony Weiner back in 2008, and it was about his penchant, Anthony Weiner's penchant for breaking phones when he hung them up so abruptly and hardly.
There was one interesting difference, I think, if you look at the two volcanic personalities there. Congressman Weiner had really ran through a lot of staff. There were a lot of people who he had more turnover than any other member of Congress in the New York area and among the highest in the country, and that was attributed to the fact that he was just he's a very hard worker, he's very tireless, but he also drove people a little bit crazy, I guess. And so, for all of her ups and downs, the Speaker has been able to retain a lot of her staff, and a lot of the inner circle remains the same. So that is a little bit of a difference.
I thought that was interesting because you describe their behavior with their staff in very similar ways, that they both are very type A. They're very demanding on their staff. But Anthony Weiner could not hang on to staff. They would cycle through within a year. And Christine Quinn has had this loyal circle of supporters and people who've worked for her. So, Ozzie, do you think that New York voters care that Christine Quinn is a woman?
I think it's going to be a factor for some people. What's interesting is that she herself has done a very careful job of not making that argument herself. When she announces endorsements from people, they talk about her record. They talk about her effectiveness. They don't explicitly talk about the historic nature of her candidacy. Now, for example, when Congresswoman Carolyn Malone appeared in public to make her announcement, I believe she made comments speaking to that effect, but in the written statement that was sent out by the campaign, which we all know is carefully constructed by a number of people that have an interest in shaping the narrative, that point was not explicitly made. When Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, the first New York congressman who's openly gay, announced that he was supporting Quinn, I asked him, how much of the historical nature of Quinn's potential of Quinn's candidacy was a factor for you? And he said, barely any at all. And again, he also, presumably in line with what the campaign was thinking, is not making that argument directly. They're sort of leaving it up to reporters and people in the media to announce and to state the obvious. So is it going to be a factor? Yes. Is it going to move more voters one way or the other? It's not clear. There's examples of women losing to male candidates where presumably you'd assume it goes the other way. But it's interesting to see how other people are bringing it up and how that topic is being raised.
We've spent a lot of time on Christine Quinn and her biography, but one moment from last week, Ozzie, that I want to go back to is at a public safety forum, there was this exchange between Comptroller John Liu and former Comptroller Bill Thompson about stop and frisk. Former Comptroller Bill Thompson is black. Let's take a listen to this clip.
Support stop and frisk. Don't understand how humiliating it is. Bill, I have to say this. Every time you talk about your 15-year-old, I feel terrible. I feel terrible that he has to live in a city like this, and a young man like your son would have to go through the potential of being stopped and frisked. Bill, I want you to join me, because I feel lonely.
No, I'm the one who has to worry about my son being stopped and frisked. I'm concerned about my son also being shot by somebody who's a member of a gang in the streets. And at the same point, I don't have to sacrifice his constitutional rights to make sure he is safe. I don't have to sacrifice. I can have them both.
So again, you have there John Liu, an Asian American candidate for mayor, talking to Bill Thompson, an African American candidate for mayor. John Liu brings up Bill Thompson's black stepson. Bill Thompson gets very fiery, uncharacteristically fiery in that exchange. What did you hear there in that moment, Ozzie?
Oh, the audience on the radio can't see it, but I was actually grimacing while that clip was playing. It was a surprising move in a number of ways. Referring to someone else's family member on a campaign trail is a lightning rod. It can go very badly very quickly. The point that Thompson made is a nuanced point, which is, I want safety. I have a very vested interest in this. I'm a father of someone who potentially could be adversely affected by this, but I'm also a politician, and I need to balance the rights of civil liberties. The thing that was amazing was that John Liu basically got to go further to the left in front of at a black church. He went further to the left of the only black candidate in the race, in an apparent move to sort of show that Liu was more ideologically pure, was further to the left. For the people that are motivated by this passion that don't want nuance, John Liu basically said, compare us. And it's up to Thompson to make this argument. Now, after the event, I went up to Thompson and I said, why is it not good enough for you when a black man says, my son is at risk and I take this position of wanting stop and frisk but done properly? Why is that not a valid enough position for you to change your mind? If that doesn't work, what will? And Liu really had no strong response to say other than he just fundamentally does not believe that stop and frisk is a valid tool.
We're going to have to leave it there for now, but so much to keep unpacking in this mayor's race. Ozzie Paber of Capital New York, David Chen, City Hall Bureau Chief for The New York Times, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Anna Sale, in for Brian Lehrer. Coming up, we're going to talk about cooperation and living together with people who are different from us. Are we getting to be less good at that? That's after the break.